You're listening to the Talk of Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode, a discussional podcast episode, we talk about the news that seems important to us, which should be important to you because it's important to us. And then we dive into our community and talk to our community members, answer some great questions from them, and then say goodbye. So, Chris, how was the week?
I don't remember.
I didn't stumble over myself for once, and you just don't even remember.
I don't remember.
Not much happened this week. Very quiet week. Just played some Final Fantasy 14, and I tried to read Grimgar. Got a little bit into the first volume of that one. I've already noticed a bunch of scenes that are in that's not in the adaptation, so that's always good. I like diving into an adaptation or a source material and getting new stuff. I mean, that was the same with Spice and Wolf, getting the inner dialogue of the character that was not present in the anime that really kind of expands on so much more stuff. And that was the same with Grimgar, getting like, okay, there's a whole scene that talks about, you know, how they chose who was going to be which party, which was completely skipped over in the adaptation because it just jumped straight into, okay, I guess these five chose to be with each other. So already getting that stuff, which is pretty cool. So hopefully I'll keep on it and I can finish it. I keep telling myself I was going to get into that one and I'm finally starting it. But yeah, that's been pretty much all that's new. I got Aokana for Rhythm Across the Blue visual novel for Switch. So my Switch physical editions as visual novels have been increasing.
Yeah.
So that's good. And we got a review copy of Gundam Build Divers.
Yeah.
So we got to watch that soon. Just finished up recording FairyCast 12. And I know what you're saying. Where's the other, like, two that haven't been posted yet? I'm getting them. I'll get to them. Sorry. We'll get them up there. So, yeah. It's been, that's about it. Exciting stuff here at the Talky Spirit Dome, or Den, whatever you want to call it, thingamajiggy.
I went ahead and started reading Rosario and Vampire.
Rosario and Vampire?
Yeah. I've already done the show. I loved the show. And so reading the manga, I already seen two whole parts that were not in the show. So
you have a better memory than I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's been way too long.
I loved the show. So yeah,
makes sense. Got the Blu-ray of it. Just, yeah. One of these days I'll just kind of throw it on just to have fun and watch it again. So I agree with you on that one. It's been a long time. Because I don't remember. I think I finished the first season. I don't know if I watched anything after that. Wasn't there two seasons?
Yeah, there's two seasons.
Yeah, I don't know if I watched the second season or not. Yeah, let's see. I finished the summer event for you on Faygo.
Yes, thank you.
Even though he keeps saying that he's going to quit. It's like, man, I haven't got this character yet. I'm like, I kind of want to help him finish it, but he keeps saying he's just going to delete it. So why would I?
I was going to, after this event, I was waiting. Just go ahead and shut me down because I'm so yanking this game off of here. I literally, every morning and every night, I went in there. I was faithfully playing the game and
it was like
2 days left and I'm like, Andrew, when am I going to? Because if you look up most of the events, they were saying you could get the character or get the thing within halfway through the event, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting it.
It was something like you had to get like 350,000 of each in order to do all the quests or something like that. I know I didn't. I thought I had to get to 400 of each, but I think one wasn't 400 yet, and I still got it. So. Yeah, it was a grind, and I went to the million of each just to get the crystallized lore and stuff, and it was a grind, a hell of a grind. I had to be on it, like, literally all the time. And now the crossing void's got a stupid vent that you have to waste all of your AP every day just trying to keep the booths filled.
Yeah, keeping the food out there.
Both of those at the same time having a really grindy event was like, why? Why is this? At least with Fate Go, I had apples. With crossing void, there really isn't anything besides burning quartz thingamajiggies for energy.
And that I'm not going to do. Yeah, not going to burn quartz.
I already wasted all my quartz thingamajiggies getting the Magia? Is it Magia or something like that? Mongo. Mongo? They're called Mongo. Mango? I don't know. Mangio.
Oh, MyGos.
MyGos, that's right, MyGo. Yeah, I wasted all my MyGo getting the limited girl from Railgun that I have no clue who she is.
I didn't have to fight too hard. And
Butterfly
to get her.
Girl's coming back next week. They're bringing back Butterfly Crow Girl.
Kroneko. Kuroyuki.
Kuroyukihime. Yeah, Kuroyuki the girl from Excel World? Excel World? Yeah, Excel World.
Maybe I'll try for her. Mm. I
she didn't look that great.
I haven't. When I got the new girl, I went ahead and just stopped buying anything. I do my free roll a day, but I'm just waiting for the next limited up or rate up on something. And I'll dump all of it
when Alice comes back.
I've got like 12 or 13 tickets already saved up. So
cool stuff, fun stuff. Yeah, nothing game-wise besides Final Fantasy 14 right now. We had the patch come out, and now I'm doing the Yo-Kai Watch stuff again, which is much easier than last time, but still, that's quite a grind, too. Yeah, got to do the raids tomorrow with the other brother. Got the puppet factory and stuff to do, so. The news. Let's jump in the news. It seems important to us. It should be important to you because it's important to us that it's important to you. We start off with Media Blaster's plans to release Puppet Princess. Speaking of puppets, Puppet Princess, which is a series that aired back in 2000. They got to release the OVA on Blu-ray. And, of course, this is from the creator Kazuhiro Fujita, who did Ushio and Tora and Karakuri Circus. So, nice little old-school classic anime coming back to release on Blu-ray, thanks to Media Blasters. I really do enjoy the work they do bringing back all these older titles, even though technically 2000 is not too old, but it's feeling really old now. That's 20 years technically, so it's we're getting to the point where 2000 anime seems like it's a really old anime, which is scary, but yeah, if you're interested in that one, definitely check that one out. The Japanese title was Karakuri no Kumi or Kimi, so cool little anime with a chick with crazy puppets. There's something about this dude and puppets, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Katakuri Circus, Puppet Princess. Did Ushio and Tora have any puppets in it?
Technically, yeah. I think it did. I don't remember. Seems like there was a character in there that did that, but I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think just, so.
Seems like
I'm starting to mesh scenes from Katakuri Circus. Yeah. Like, but there was that one scene. No, wait, that was Katakuri Circus. Never mind. So, yeah, cool stuff. I don't think they have a release date yet, so just keep an eye out for it. Definitely cool.
I don't know. It does definitely look interesting.
Yeah, it looks very old school, like Demon Hunter Yoko, or whatever that was. Demon Hunter Yoko.
Yeah, it's just crazy to when you pointed out the whole 20-year thing. It's like, oh, my gosh.
That's old now. Square Enix's Gengan Joker magazine has announced that a live-action project of One Week Friends manga has begun overseas. They have no information yet right now, but they said there'll be more in the future. So I'm going to assume that it's a Hollywood/Netflix. I don't know, somebody over here probably doing a live-action adaptation. So I guess look forward to that. I don't know. I liked One Week Friends. It was a little bit annoying towards the later part, especially with the main character kind of just turning into a jerk at some point. But I do kind of wonder if that's something that will translate well to Western live action. I guess it can do it. I this is probably one of the easier ones that would probably be Westernized live action. Yeah, it is one of those ones where it kind of seems...
It's not too reliant on its cultural.
Yeah, that is true, but it is one of those ones where the anime worked pretty well because she was so distanced from everybody and so off-putting to people that she was able to keep the fact that she literally forget people within a week a secret, where something like that I think would be a little bit weirder in a Western culture where people are a lot more louder and stuff. I guess it's Japanese schools can be loud. And I don't know. Interesting. We'll see. We'll get more information later on it. It does have I didn't know it actually has a Japanese live action. I'm curious about that one. I don't know. I have the anime on Blu-ray. I was thinking of actually checking out again, see what my thoughts are on it. Now, in retrospect. Like I said, I think I just had problems with the main character towards later parts on that one. Wit Studio has announced that the premiere date for the second half of Great Pretender will be on Netflix Japan on September 21st. That is the episodes 15 through 23, which is part of the Case 4 release that they're talking about. Of course, that is probably more December area for the Western, anything outside of Japan. So just it's good to know about when it's releasing in Japan so we know to add on another 6 or so months to know when it comes here. So now you know where to mark your calendars. Your expectation dates are now set. And it has subtitles. That's what's so annoying. It has subtitles. Please just give us it. It might be one. It might be one of those things that they might release it earlier outside of Japan, just because there was a couple other ones here recently that they decided to release, even though they didn't have a dub to it. And I think it's partially to do with the COVID situation. So hopefully this is one of those ones where they'll go, look, let's just release it outside Japan. We don't need to dub it. But I know they've been putting a lot of efforts into advertising it, so they might want to wait until it's dubbed to release it elsewhere. So on good news for everybody outside of Japan, Netflix is going to add The Promised Neverland on September 1st. So if you don't have a Crunchyroll subscription, but you have Netflix and you've been wanting to watch The Promised Neverland, you can watch on Netflix then. So cool stuff. Idea Factory has announced that the anime Hyperdimension Neptunia will be available on Steam this fall.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were looking to, I don't know, please, somebody out there, if you actually buy anime on Steam specifically, and even if you buy anime on Amazon, I'm curious. I'm very curious to what the digital anime buying market is for people. Like, how many people actually buy their animes to stream? Because, I mean, it took a while before, you know, game buying digitally became an actual thing. I'm just curious how it is for anime too. Does Steam do free streaming?
Not that I know.
I don't think. I think you have to buy them. Everyone that I'm seeing, you had to buy them. Just seems really weird. It's a very weird platform to have buying anime. Like when I first heard that some titles were being put on Steam, I'm like, wait, so you can play these anime? No, you just buy the show. Why would you buy it on Steam? Doesn't make any sense.
I know it's been there for a while.
Yeah,
so.
It is. Just feels weird.
Well, to me, it should be no different than buying movies or shows on Amazon. Or even Apple Store. I mean,
I guess it's just because that, you know, Crunchyroll and Funimation have made it so easy to just subscribe or watch them with ads that it feels weird to have to buy to view a single thing. Is what's weird, I guess.
Now, my question is, okay, what if they lose the rights to that show? Do you lose the...
Yeah, and just like video games, that's always a concern is... Are you going to be able
to
keep it?
Well, I still technically have one of the Fables on my Steam, and that's been off of their library for a long time. And I still have the ability to download it.
Yeah, it seems to be different for every game title. Some of them, they can remain on there. Some, you can still download them, and some, you can only run them if you still have them downloaded. It's very weird. Additionally, with the Hyperdimension stuff, Compile Hearts has announced that GoGo 5 Jaiden Game Neptune Reverse will be the franchise's first PlayStation 5 title. Now, they claim they're still working on other titles, but that won't be the first title they will have on PS5. So, They're already gearing up for the next gen. Don't get too excited. I'm sure they will not even touch anything of the capabilities of the PS5 as they usually do. It's like whenever you get a title as the first one for the next gen and they're like, oh crap, this is going to be a really cool looking anime. No, they're not going to. They're probably still going to have bland environments, really basic cube structures that you're running through hallways with nothing in them. Unfortunately, they budget very low with these games. So I think the, like with the Tales of Arise, that was like the first one where it's like, oh crap, they're actually the first Tales game that looks like it's using Unreal and it looks really kind of particly and stuff. A lot of these companies take a while in Japan to really get caught up with the times. So excited.
Yeah.
It's the last time you played a Neptune game. It's been a long time since I played a Neptune game. I think it was back when I was doing game reviews. I got a copy of one of them. I haven't really played them since then. I do enjoy them when I do play them. I just never go out of my way after them. So, it is what it is. During a Princess Connect Redive live stream presentation, Season 2 of the anime adaptation was announced. Apparently, Cygames Pictures is returning to animate the series, so we will still get the same fantastic animation, I hope, as we did with the first one. Really cool. I am very happy to hear about this. I think when I heard about this, I did a little jump in the air, hitting my feet together kind of thing. It's a good series. If you haven't watched Princess Connect Redive, definitely check it out. It's kind of like a Konosuba-ish type anime. I think it had the same director as the one that did Konosuba. So it kind of has the same feels. Great characters, a lot of fun and laughs.
Kind of looks like season one visuals.
Yeah, the trailer just technically has a bunch of clips from the season one. But unfortunately, we don't have a date yet, so we will have to wait to find out when the new season's coming. But I cannot wait.
Love my Princess Connect. Can't wait.
Moving on. We have Yen Press has announced 9 new manga licenses and 2 omnibus editions. They have Interspecies Reviewers Comic Anthology Darkness, The World's Finest Assassin Gets Reincarnated in Another World, Adachi and Shimamura, Dear Nomon Golden Japaneske. Are you staring at the Interspecies Reviewers characters so intently?
Is she broken, or is that, like, sideways, or what?
What?
Her face.
No.
The other face.
This one?
Yes.
What, it's got her hair in front of her face. Is that what you mean?
So, her head, she's looking towards the screen, right?
Yeah, here's her face.
What's going on with her eye?
I don't understand what you mean.
The eye looks funky.
Okay, artistic choice. I don't know.
Maybe one of these bubbles are up in front of her face. I don't know. It looks funny.
I just thought you were like
her eye is like on drooping. The
furry character really intently. I'm like, dang, you're just getting really into that furry character.
Her eye is like halfway down her face. It's really messed up looking.
I don't see it.
The left Mama. Eye. You don't see the left eye melting off of her face.
There's a left eye? It's under her hair.
Okay, it's behind her. Okay, then what is that on under the hair?
Her right eye is
up there.
There.
And then on the left side of her face, something is there. What is that?
You're creeping me out. I don't understand what you're saying, so
I'm assuming it's a spot of some sort. It's like a spot under her eye. If her eye is under her hair, then there's a spot there.
Probably her eyebrow, because her eyebrow is over here is the same.
Why is her eyebrow under her eye? What is the brown spot?
Her eye would be right here.
Okay, then what's that?
This is her nose.
Okay, that does not look like a nose.
This is what you've been looking at the entire time? Yes! Nose?
It looks off. Something is not right there.
It's a puppy dog. I knew that was going to happen. All these dang pages are super magnified. There. Okay. Everything's fixed. Anyways, Yen Press also licensed Mama Akuma, Mint Chocolate, Sasaki and Miyano, The Dark History of the Reincarnated Villainous, Cirque du Freak Omnibus Edition, Grim Reaper and Four Girlfriends Omnibus Edition, Solo Leveling Novels, and Solo Leveling Comics. So, there you go.
Seems like somebody wanted us to read Solo Leveling, didn't they?
I don't recall that one. Maybe. Killing Bites manga is getting a spin-off manga titled Hoshigari Sugi Desho Inaba-san, or Desire Overload, Right Inaba. This is going to be launching on August 21st, so technically yesterday as recording of this. On the Wild Heroes website. So, if you have access to that, I'm sure it will be released elsewhere. So, interesting. I'm guessing it's going to be related to the bunny girl, Inaba, I think it was the name of Inaba. Killing Bites, unless the synopsis for the original. Yeah. There you go. I'm guessing it's the rabbit girl. I don't remember if her name was Inaba. Kyoto Animation has announced plans to debut Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid's new season in 2021. So we finally got a announcement of them continuing the series, which of course we knew that there was going to be a season 2 a while back. But of course, we had the huge tragedy in Kyoto. So it's good to see that they are back and running again. They're already announcing plans to release the next season. It'll be called Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid S, which they say the S standing for Super Supreme Second Life Starts. So, cool stuff there.
Looks like we have a new character coming, too.
I think that's Miss Kobayashi. She's going to turn evil.
Ah.
I don't know. I just don't see Miss Kobayashi in the picture.
This is true.
It's concerning. But I think Miss Kobayashi had short hair, though. This one's got pretty long hair. We'll see. We'll see if she goes demon mode. Or maybe it's the demon girl next door. She's invaded this show. We'll see. I mean, we technically have already kind of established everything for the Dragon Kingdom. So maybe they're going to go in the Demonic Kingdom or something with this next one. We'll see. But good to see it come back, though. Good to see Kyoto Animation come back as well. So, Studio MAPPA has plans to work on a new original anime sports titled called Taiso Samurai. This will be including the team that worked on Zombieland Saga, including the director Hisatoshi Shimizu. They already have a promo that is available on the Taiso_Samurai Twitter handle. So if you look up Taiso, Taiso_Samurai, you can find the trailer there. I'm sure it's probably on YouTube at this point, but
looks like it's going to be doing gymnastics of some sort, which that could be a very interesting.
The story is set in the year 2002.
Oh, I don't want to see CG on that. No.
The story is set in the year 2002, and the once powerful Japanese men's gymnastic team, Shotaro Aragaki, the former Japanese team member who devoted his life to gymnastics, is no longer able to compete to his expectations. Despite still training sinuously day after day, he is advised to retire by his coach, Amakusa. However, a certain encounter alters Aragaki's fate. So,
definitely looks like it's the Zombieland Saga team. Definitely some
same character designer, same director, and I think the same script writer for an original anime. So pretty cool.
It looks good. I'm in some ways super excited because some of this can look really amazing. But my first glimpse, I seen CG. You know, the rest of the scenes, I don't really see a lot of CG. So hopefully that was just a fluke, because this is one of those shows that would really shine if they do full animated on all that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where...
It's going to be hard, though.
They use CGI when it's very far away. It seems like only when they're close up, they'll actually do drawn animation.
It is one of those that it's going to be really rough. I mean, that's you're talking some hefty animation work on a lot of that, because we're talking gymnastics.
Yeah. It'll probably be similar to Yuri on Ice, where they can technically utilize the same animations for same scenes. So hopefully they do a good job of hiding that stuff. Because that was my big issue with Yuri on Ice. Everybody was like, this is amazing animation. I'm like, but they're reusing it over and over again. Yeah, that's amazing animation in episode 2 that they use in episode 1. It's the same animation. So there's a hope there that they can possibly at least hide it really well, is the hope. And of course, beyond the Numa Animation block, which is their late night block in Japan, is premiering on October 10th. So cool stuff, though. Always looking forward to good original animations, and that one looks to be one, hopefully. Shizumu Watanabe, who did Real Account, or is known for doing Real Account, has announced plans to launch a new manga. So if you're a fan of his work, he's going to be working on Maho no Sasageru Trick, or Tricks Dedicated to Witches. Apparently, Watanabe said that it was going to be a story about a reincarnated magician and a witch. And be launching on August 28th. So I know there's a lot of talk around Real Account. I never really checked it out, but hopefully this will be another one that'll hopefully get some moving over in the West, maybe. So. The website for Is the Order a Rabbit franchise has revealed a premiere date for the third season. It is going to be on October 10th. So we just talked about this the last discussion that was announced. And thankfully, we already have a date, so look forward to Is the Order Rabbit Bloom to premiere on October 10th.
Can't wait.
Can't not wait. It's been too long. Might have to do a quick rewatch of the first two seasons before that one comes out. Just to reacquaint ourselves with it. A new PV for Is Higurashi When They Cry. A new PV for New Higurashi When They Cry has been released, so you can find that online. It is announced that the first 13 episodes of the New Higurashi When They Cry will premiere on October 1st, so this will be a fall series, which I think originally it was planned to release in summer, so... the 14th episode also announced to be premiering on January 7th. So I'm guessing they'll have the 13 episodes in fall and then have a little break before showing the 14th episode on January 7th. So cool stuff. Looking forward to that one, even though it will crush us. And the new PV that they have available has got a lot of new scenes in it. Pretty cool little directing done to the PV, great music in it, so definitely check it out if you have not already. Nipa. Apparently Sorcerer Stabber's still going. Sorcerer Stabber's, the official website, has posted a PV for a second season, which will be premiering on January 2021, so if you have been keeping up on that, we checked out the new adaptation that came out here recently and didn't really stick with it, but apparently it is still going on. So if you're a fan of Sorcerer Stabber, check that one out. January.
Which one was that?
It was the one where the guy's girlfriend turned into a dragon and flew off, and then every time people find the dragon, he stops them from attacking the dragon because it's his girlfriend.
Gotcha. Kuma Bear. Yay.
New PV has been released for Kuma Bear. Has revealed a staff, the ED, and an October 7th debut. So this will be another fall anime. I think the fall season is going to be a little bit stacked I'm curious now. Any chart? Seems like every... She can create a house.
The bear suit makes her super overpowered. That's what they said.
I didn't know that there was going to be including building structures from paws hitting the ground. So now we have Fall, Haikyuu, Danmachi, the super overpowered brother of Magic High. What was it called? The Irregular at Magic High? Jujutsu Kaisen, which Crunchyroll is blowing up right now. Higurashi When They Cry. It's that one from the Silent Voice writer. What was that called? Fumetsu no Anatae, which is the from the writer of Silent Voice. Yeah, the bride one. I'm forgetting the English title for. Golden Kamuy is coming back. The new PA Works key title.
What are you looking for?
I'm just showing how stacked this next season is.
Oh.
Is the Art of Rabbits coming back? The new season of the new thing of Inuyasha is coming in that season. Kumakuma Bear, of course. Can't forget that one. Yeah, we're just going right back to the whole 50 shows a season thing next season. Taisou Samurai is already set for it. Manana Nanana, she looks crazy. Cool stuff. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Side tangent. Dimension W's creator Yuji Iwahara will be launching a new manga. Clevetez Maju no Au to Akago to Kabane no Yusha, or Clevetez, the King of Beasts, the Babe, and the Cadaverous Champion. The manga centers around the titular Clevetez, the Lord of All Magical Beasts, who wields both uncanny intellect and destructive powers. Frustrated by the 13 heroes tasked to destroy him, he has decided to be rid of the humanity once and for all. However, he has been charged with one nuisance, the care of a newborn human baby. Now the world stands upon the brink of Armageddon with the obligation of raising one child, holding it all back. Not quite sure why a newborn baby is keeping him from destroying the world, but okay. We'll see what he does with that. I thought I mentioned that. I know that there's some fans out there that like Dimension W. I thought it kind of fell apart towards the later parts of the anime, but he's able to create some interesting worlds at least, so we'll see. Some good news for dub fans. Funimation has revealed the cast for Kakushigoto, so they're already working on that one. Sentai Filmworks has revealed the cast for Wasteful Days of High School Girls. High Dive is set to release dub episodes for My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu Climax. Also, they are planned to dub The Demon Girl Next Door, which I thought was pretty exciting. Glad more people can get a hold of that particular show. Crunchyroll has announced dub cast for Monster Girl, Doctor, God of High School, Rent a Girlfriend, and the second season of ReZero. So, cool stuff for dub fans. And then our big news pieces of this particular episode, which is probably going to take most of the episode. But I say that usually makes it to where it doesn't take very long. First bit, piracy site Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga has been shut down. The site claims all files are taken down by copyright owners. The site will be closed forever. Thank you for your supports. Your supports. Sorry, I had to make the joke about it. Yeah. So this apparently is it for Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga, which means piracy is now over in the world, Chris.
I doubt it.
Oh, it just doesn't end piracy?
No.
What? I thought they were the only piracy site.
The stupid thing is I was talking to, I want to say it was one of our friends. We were talking and he was asking me, how I mean, we've always been pretty much against piracy. If you have the access to get legit, you should do legit. But at the same time, it's not like we're going to sit there and hunt you down and smash you over the head and say, shame on you if you go and pirate. It's when I was talking to our friend, he was asking me, can you effectively get rid of it? And I said, no, you can't. Mostly because it's a feature of our fandom in a way. You're effectively changing the entire dynamic of everything that anime is by changing this. And it's literally impossible to do. It's always been there. I mean, from the get-go, you were doing bootlegs. The bootlegs were making copies of the bootlegs. You did your fan dubs on top of fan subs on top of the bootlegs. And then you were passing the fan subs around from group to group. It's a part of our culture. And to get rid of it, you would literally have to change the entire culture of anime. It's part of us. Now, it's still a good idea to do things the right way. And that's what we have always strived for. And that was the whole thing behind Crunchyroll is, look, Crunchyroll went to the people in Japan and said, look, we believe our community wants to do things legit. I don't know if that's really what they said to these people. That's what I assume they said to these people. Now, turning around and biting the hand that feeds you is kind of a bad idea as well. I've never cared for the way that Funimation and Crunchyroll has treated their customers. I've made no bones about that. I've constantly been pointing out that fact over and over and over again. But needless to say, unfortunately, they're the gatekeepers. You can't get around that. As long as they are the gatekeepers, technically, if you want to do right by this culture, you have to go to them. There's no getting around that. But it's still a feature of this fandom that all we can do is hope that we fix as ourselves. Crunchyroll's not going to fix it for us. All they've done is set up the gateway. We have to fix it ourselves.
I wouldn't really call them gatekeepers because they buy the license. They're the one that paid the money to get the thing to be able to show it. And that's the frustration is I don't mind, and this has been an ongoing thing that we've talked about several times, and I almost want to do an entire, I think we've done a piracy episode. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But we've done it. There's a lot of people that have no choice but to because it's just not available where they're at, which I think the worst part of all this is that it sucks for it. It is always and it always will suck for people outside of areas where it's very, very available. I mean, U.S., we have full availability. I mean, they literally get pretty much every show every season between Funimation and Crunchyroll. And there's a lot of areas where they don't have a company that is in their region that does that. And I hate the argument that I pirate from because Crunchyroll's don't let me watch it on their site. It's not that Crunchyroll won't let you watch it on their site from an outside region. It's Crunchyroll doesn't have the legal right to show it to you in your region from their website. It's not Crunchyroll being mean to you. Now, I know there's a whole argument that there was licenses that were being picked up in areas like Europe, but they weren't showing it there. I think Funimation was doing that sometimes. Yeah, yell at them. All the right to do that. But don't yell at a company for not letting you see it on their site when they legally don't have the legal rights to show it to you. They have to buy the license in every region that they show it in. That's why Netflix is kind of doing it right in the idea that they're kind of going, we're doing this worldwide with this show. And I think they've done that for most of the anime they do. They kind of like come out and say, this is available worldwide. Watch it. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I do give Netflix a lot of credit is they're trying to go out of their way to make it global. And I think they're doing a great job of that. I don't know if they're able to do that with shows that they're getting that, like with Promised Neverland. I probably should look into that one because that is one that was originally on Crunchyroll. And I think also on Funimation. And now it's on Netflix. And I wonder if the regions will be different for Netflix or if they're going to have the same regions that Crunchyroll and Funimation did. But no, my whole point's always been I don't blame people that are in areas where there is just no availability. You're literally in the area where we were at in 1990 and stuff and so on. Early 2000s is when that area when we didn't have nothing was coming over, and what did come over was in one episode on a VHS on a shelf at the store, and you were missing five parts of it. I just don't like when you have the availability and you make excuses like, I don't like the player. I don't like the website. It's not that bad. And I've tried Kiss Anime and the likes back in the day, and they were just absolutely terrible with ads everywhere, malware shooting in your computer. There's ways around it, but
Kiss Anime has been
to get one ad at the very beginning on Crunchyroll. I don't see the complaint there. And to make the excuses to just say that you want to pirate it, it's fine. Don't give me excuses that you don't like the company or something like that. I do think it's a loss. Even though I don't like... Here's the conundrum. I like that people have the availability of stuff when they're not in a... Like we are with United States having like full-on availability of everything. I think it's a loss for people that don't have that availability because their region doesn't have a license holder to allow them to see it. But at the same time, I don't feel bad for Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga because they were making a lot of money off of other people's work. They were pulling off the streams on Crunchyroll and Funimation and just replastering on their servers, plastering ads all over the place and making a fortune. And that's the sucky part, is that somebody else was making bank off of other people's work. Crunchyroll, whether you don't like them or not, they paid a lot of money to get a show. They paid somebody to dub it or to subtitle it, or maybe also dub it, especially with Funimation. And then they put it up on their website, and somebody else yanked it down, threw it on their website, and threw banners on it.
And to set aside the arguments about whether or not they pay the subgroup enough, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they are actually not sending enough money back to the company. That's all aside of the point. I've heard all of the arguments. I literally have. I am middle of the road on this. I really am.
That's what I'm saying. It's like to make the excuse that you pirate it because they don't pay not enough of the money gets back to the animator. It's not Crunchyroll's call how much the animator gets paid. The in-betweener doesn't get paid much. I don't want to support Crunchyroll. What does Crunchyroll have to do with that? Case in point, and I have it later on, Yoshitada Fukuhara, if you don't know, he was a producer. He worked on Kimi no Kusa. He worked on Kimono Friends, the original season. He does a lot of work with them. He tweeted about the fact that this overseas demand for these streaming services, whether you like them or not, is getting more money in the studio's pocket. Now, not saying that money is getting into the pockets of the animators, but it's getting into the studios, and that means that there's a possibility that the animators will get paid more than what they're getting with from, like, you know, normal sources. They're getting a huge increase per episode than they were getting before because there's so much demand over here. And I think it's because they were talking about how a lot of these companies, when they make a contractual agreement with Crunchyroll or Funimation or HIDIVE or whatever, they're actually getting paid money up front. And thus money is pouring into the studio quicker than having to wait until it gets to the point where they're starting to make money off of the Blu-rays and stuff. So there's the money is getting there. Might not be as much as you would want, but at least some money is getting there versus it not getting there at all. So
it's frustrating because there's like 15 different arguments flying around all over the place on this. And this is not an argument about, because I do think that there needs to be a fix. I really do. I may disagree with Andrew about the whole gatekeeper thing. I personally think that, unfortunately, these companies are gatekeepers. As long as they hold the ultimate rights, and they bought the rights, I'm not arguing that they didn't buy the rights. I'm arguing that because they are the gatekeepers, the people you have to go to, you don't have a choice. You cannot go to a different Crunchyroll 2 and pay a different amount for a better quality stream. As long as Crunchyroll is the only one, I know the arguments. The problem is that if you want to support them, unfortunately, you have to go through these companies. It's as much as it sucks until, because basically, if you refuse to do this, and this is forget about all these other companies and all their pirate shaming, whatever the heck you want to call what Funimation's voice actors, what Crunchyroll does, whatever you want to call it, I don't give a crap. You will undermine everything that we have worked for 20 some odd years to get Japan to pay attention to us, that we said we are a group of people that want to support this industry. If you undermine that by going to Kiss Anime, then you cannot blame Crunchyroll if they go under and you lose out on all your anime.
Well, here's an interesting point where that kind of brings up is, and again, I'm not saying that people, I'm not here to be your mom.
I'm not. That's.
But I do want people to think about certain things, because I think that's important. And again, if you don't have access to these services, this is a completely moot point. But, and I don't think Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga went down because of these new copyright things that Japan has recently put into effect.
They've been doing it. They've been at each other for a long time. So
no, I think they just finally got it. They could have been finally gotten a hold of them, but there is new parliament in effect right now. Or the parliament has put in new measures for copyright issues. And the thing I want to kind of point out is, okay, let's rewind the clock. Back in the day, yeah, way back there with VHS and stuff, somebody had to bring over a VHS. People put it through a whole subbing process, and there was just copies made throughout the place. People would just mail in their VHSs, and people would, the kindness of their own heart, make a copy for you and send it back to you. That was the way of old. And then the internet happened. And then suddenly we just had tons of anime just being thrown on the internet. People were subtitling it like crazy. There was groups being created to do that. Now, let's try to reverse the process here. Say everybody starts pirating. Crunchyroll says we're not making a bunch of money. Crunchyroll gives up. Funimation says we're not making a bunch of money. Funimation gives up. How do you get your anime?
Yeah.
With these new copyright laws, I highly doubt anybody's going to upload anything to the internet. And if they do, they're going to get in serious deep crap in Japan. That's already been happening with a lot of manga services. Manga Murda was the big one that happened here recently in 2018. They are coming down hard on these people. And unless somebody puts it in a box and sends it overseas, unboxes it, rips the Blu-ray and sticks it on the internet, it's going to be a lot more difficult to get access to these shows. It's not that it's not going to happen. It's just going to be more difficult going forward because of these new copyright laws. They are going to come down hard on anybody that is exporting these shows in Japan for copyright reasons. And so it almost feels like we've stopped this piracy train. We didn't stop the piracy, but the piracy train was going on, and that piracy train kind of turned into Crunchyroll and Funimation, and then suddenly that piracy train is getting cut off right now. But the Crunchyroll and Funimation, all them, are still standing, and if they collapse, that piracy train is not going to keep going. So, and like I mentioned, we've mentioned before, a lot of these sites are just pulling from Crunchyroll and Funimation. They're not going out there to get the shows and dubbing them and subbing them and throwing them on the internet. They're just pulling from Crunchyroll and Funimation. And yeah, I think the fan sub teams will probably rebuild themselves. But I think that flow of shows is going to come to a pretty tough halt for quite a while. So
yeah, again, Kiss
just,
Anime
just
was,
bringing it up for a food for thought.
Kiss Anime was one of the biggest. So if they finally got to that, I mean, yeah, we've made the argument before that every time you knock down one, at least three more are popping up somewhere. Yeah. So it's
that's
not
how
like,
the internet works.
Yeah, it's not going to be gone forever. But at the same time, just remember, I mean, we're not trying to lecture anybody here. We're trying to make you, we're giving you a different argument than I haven't heard these particular arguments. This is the one thing that I don't, like I said, that I don't think anybody ever has before said. I've heard literally all the other arguments. Like we had mentioned,
the player
before,
sucks.
The player sucks. If they're not going to give a better quality,
they make woke service. Animated series.
Yeah. I get all of them. I really do. I understand all the arguments. I am literally neutral in this. I see it from a different perspective of somebody from that has been in this fandom for a long freaking time. I see the fact that this is a literal part of our culture. I also see the fact that I think it's absolutely absurd that Crunchyroll has any right to say you shouldn't be pirating, literally being the fact that they were technically a pirating site at one point. I get all of the arguments. I really do. But at the same time, like I said, you're undermining everything we've worked for if you go into these pirate sites. But that's not me shaming you. That's me saying that's what you're doing. I don't give a crap whether... If Crunchyroll goes down, fine. At some point, we're going to figure something out. That's what we do. That's what we as humans do. We always evolve. We always figure out better ways of doing stuff. Unfortunately, if we lose anime for a while, I guess we're going back to pirating, and then we get crappy viruses every 5 seconds. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going
to
happen.
I have to go back to torrenting and leaving my computer on.
Yeah,
and
hot.
Chris, are you torrenting again? Pause your torrents. I need to download this real quick.
I do think that the next little bit of news is something that I think actually all ties into the same thing, and it's a really interesting thing to add to this.
You talking about the AT&T thing?
The AT&T thing.
No, I'm gonna stay in the boat. Again, this wasn't a thing to pirate shame people. I really don't care what you do. I'm not your mom. I just want people to think about it on different sides. I don't like the idea of putting the blame where the blame doesn't be deserved. Don't blame Crunchyroll because you can't access something from your region. It's not their fault. It's just how licenses work. And I guess the other big one is not Crunchyroll and Funimation's fault that you can't access a 20-year-old anime. It's just, one, they're not available, and two, they just don't, if they are available, nobody's going to pay for them because they just don't get viewership.
They don't get money.
If you have access to, what was it, Retro Crush, support things like that. If you find that Retro Crush is the current one, but if you're into those old shows, support the people that are going out and finding them and bringing them back. Don't just rush out to find some random guy who's, you know, posted it up to make money from an ad. Support the people that are trying to revitalize those old shows and bring them back to their old glory. Again, it's not so much the idea of feeling the obligation of paying somebody for something you think is not getting back to the owners, but more so supporting the people that are trying to legally bring this stuff back properly, I guess is the way to put it. And again, if you don't have access to stuff, I can't shame you because I did the same thing when we didn't have access to the stuff. So, you do you. You do you. That's all it is. But interesting times though. Like I said, I do feel for a lot of people that just that was their. That was their access. But I never mentioned it. There's for every one pirate site, there's a million more. Just just go back to Google and click on the next link. That's really what it comes down to. You put in stream Fire Force, Kiss Anime came up first, and you clicked on that, and it said, all files taken down by copyright owners. The site will be closed forever. Thank you for your supports. You hit the back button, you click on the next one.
Which was kissanime.ru.
That was the one that was down, was RU.
So. Okay, then the other one was UK.
I don't know about the UK one. If that was, I think RU was the real one. Anyways, yeah, next one is Variety reports that AT&T has asked for $1 billion for Crunchyroll from multiple buyers, including, and here's the scary one. Somebody texted this to me and my stomach dropped. Including Sony Pictures Entertainment. For those who don't remember, Sony previously acquired the majority stake of Funimation back in 2017 for $143 million. So this is Sony. They own Aniplex, or not Aniplex, Aniplex USA. They own Funimation now, recently, and now apparently they're smelling after Crunchyroll. So when I seen the price tag, I was pretty sure this was a bluff. Like, sure, you want it? Here you go. Oh, you don't want it? Oh, okay. We'll try again next time, guy. I don't know if it was a let's just ask for the impossible just because we think it's worth that, or if it was a they don't want to sell it, and so they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. $1 billion. You want to buy it? Yeah, don't want to buy it? Okay, later, kind of thing. So, yeah, the Informer website reported that AT&T offered Crunchyroll to Sony for $1.5 billion, and that Sony representatives balked at the price. Of course, the reason why this seems like making sense that AT&T would be selling it is they've been selling a lot of their companies recently, and they are currently sitting on $151 billion of debt load. So it's very highly plausible that AT&T will eventually get rid of Crunchyroll, but it's quite a price tag.
Well, and they also recently mentioned how many registered subscribers they had, if I remember right, which was one of those. Yeah. Which was one of those. Hey, look, we're worth a lot of money. So it's an interesting, I don't know if it was last discussional or the discussional before that. We were noting the sudden, new channel that was opening up on YouTube, which I find somebody had mentioned the idea that maybe all of these things are linked in together, and I don't wholly dismiss that, mostly because there's a lot of interesting things that are happening, and we had mentioned a few episodes ago where we were talking about there's a lot of big moves going on up at the top levels. And this is another one of those that I'm wondering if, like you were mentioning, AT&T is obviously hurting really bad right now. That's an interesting point. Also, I think that there's probably some big money people who are looking at the YouTube thing and they're going, this is a money loser, really bad, very soon. And that's what goes into what we were talking about earlier with Kiss Anime going down. There's a lot of things happening right now, and it's really interesting because we were talking about a while back, who was it? Aniplex was taking back all of their licenses. Was it Aniplex that was doing that?
Mm-hmm. So Funimation.
Yeah, that was an interesting move, and so there's a lot of things going on at the really high upper levels.
Yeah, it was funny because we got the news that they were pulling all their licenses back they were pulling it from Crunchyroll too. They were pulling Fullmetal Alchemist. That was the biggest one. They were pulling Fullmetal Alchemist. And so everybody was going, holy crap, buy Fullmetal Alchemist right now because it's being ripped up from Funimation. And then literally like, and it was probably a year after that. suddenly out of nowhere, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, Aniplex owns Funimation technically now, and it's back on their catalog, and it's like, what the heck? Very weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird things going on up there, and I'm wondering, I think one of the two big names is going down, and I'm going to suspect it's probably going to be Crunchyroll. I hate to say that. Mostly because I see Sony. Now, if Sony itself goes down, I think Sony itself is probably the bigger name that's probably going to go down. If Sony survives, Crunchyroll is gone. One of the two names is gone. There's too much movement up at the upper levels that doesn't make sense. There's shifting going on. And I think that's why Toei is why those big names, because that's a lot of big names that are in that, that anime thing on YouTube. That's a lot of big names. And they're going to be yanking all their licenses at some point. And these two companies are going to be struggling. And there's only one way for these two to survive.
I think that's why Crunchyroll is trying to diverse so much into studios and getting anime original titles. And I think that was something that was written on the wall quite a while back when mm-hmm. you started seeing so much investment happening. Funimation was getting their fingers into production committees. Crunchyroll was getting their fingers in the production committees. It was a way for them to ensure that, you know, you have to let us have this when it's being made, right? It's like you're not going to know somebody else. I don't really necessarily see. Yeah, I think because that included Toei Animation was probably one of the bigger ones that was in that list, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily see that really being an option for most of them. I think, yeah, for a big you know, production group, that is something that they could do with their titles. But I don't necessarily think it's something that is, you know, when a production committee has MAPPA do a new action anime that they're going to turn around and go, let's throw it on a YouTube channel. I don't see that. I see them going, hey, is there somebody over there that wants to pay, you know, several million dollars per episode for this show? That's what they're going to be looking for. And I don't necessarily see the Crunchyroll or Funimation or Sony having it, especially Sony. Sony's not in trouble. AT&T is. Crunchyroll's not.
No, okay. The Sony thing is slightly separate, and that's a bigger issue, and maybe we can discuss that offline at some point. But that's like I said, if Sony itself survives, that's fine. I agree. I see Crunchyroll in a more bigger in more peril than I see Funimation. But that's outside of the realm of the discussion. When it comes down to it, it's just one of those things that like I said, there's a lot of things that are shifting, and shifting means there's instability, and this is something. I mean, over 15 years, we never seen any of this, and now suddenly, all in the course of 1 year, we're seeing a lot of shifting. And that's why I say there's something going on that we're not really privy to, because we're regular people like everybody else. So,
yeah, I think the unfortunate thing is that the shifting doesn't always have to be about the market of the thing that they're involved with.
Right.
And that's something
I mentioned consideration Sony. Of.
Like I said, with this particular article, it is about a company with a lot of debt. And that debt is probably spread throughout a lot of the branches of AT&T owns a lot of stupid stuff. They have their hands in way too many cookie jars, and a lot of those cookie jars have spoiled cookies in them. And that's not necessarily mean that this jar over here they have is full of bad cookies, which is Crunchyroll. And eventually when somebody comes by and says, we need to do something about all these nasty cookies, that one over there has good cookies in it. They go, well, you want this one? It's $1.5 billion. Like, no, that's all right. Cool. Well, later. And that's what you're really looking at, isn't it? So the movement doesn't always have to be about what they're dealing in. Sometimes it just has to do with bad management up top that's trying to cover their books. And sometimes that makes people think that things aren't doing so well or things are doing better than they should be doing. Sometimes it's just a stupid executive making possibly poor decisions. Not to say they're doing anything wrong here. Like I said, I think when I seen that $1.5 billion after I read the initial title that says AT&T is possibly selling Crunchyroll to Sony, I panicked. And then when I read the $1 billion that it had on there, I'm like, that was a bluff. There was no way they were thinking they're going to get that. Unless they were thinking very highly of that $3 million that they were saying initially, which I think comes out to probably about $20,000 a month. It's a lot of money, but it doesn't necessarily mean, or not 20 million, I'm sorry, $20 million a month they're getting doesn't necessarily need to mean that they are, you know, worth way more than that. I mean, technically, that's like without cost of maintenance, they could technically make back their money in 5 years. But there's maintenance, there's upkeep, there's buying new licenses that goes into play there in the meantime.
Yeah, and you're also considering the idea of the assets of the quote-unquote licenses and all that stuff, which those are all considered in different ways. I don't think 1.5 is really that off. I think that it's bold for sure.
Well, no, you can say that technically they get all the licenses as well, and that's a lot of money worth of licenses. But you also have to take consideration the idea that with anime, a 1-year-old license isn't worth much.
True.
Especially in their model, Fire Force is money. Black Clover is money. Naruto is money. Asterisk War is not. Cross Ange is worth pennies right now. It's just how the anime industry is. So as much as they can say we have this big catalog, yeah. Anything that's current shonen is that money. And it, technically, to the point of the whole licensing process, if they have the physical as well, it's more money right there. But we don't know the extent of what Crunchyroll does anymore because we don't see physical copies from them ever. So I'm assuming it's just streaming licenses. Man, this is like a whole podcast in its own. I thought about that when we had like the three whammies, which was the Kiss anime, the this whole buy, not really buy, but this offering, and then the market pricing.
Well, the market pricing thing, I sent that to you just because it was just such an off the wall thing. It was almost like Crunchy, because it was on, I found it on Crunchyroll's site, and it was like, we do important stuff, I promise.
It really okay. Did seem, yeah, I admit, because I think I've seen the article on Twitter.
Bad timing, guys, bad timing.
I want to say that I seen the article on Twitter at some point, and it felt like a response.
Yeah.
Honestly. But when I realized it wasn't Crunchyroll writing it, it didn't feel like a response anymore. It just felt like it was kind of timed. Like, not really timed, but it was just kind of...
poorly timed.
No, it just felt like this was timed. This tweet was made, and it fell into Crunchyroll's lap. Technically what I would say it being as. But yeah, I do want to give Crunchyroll credit for doing the whole translation of it. Daryl Harding at Crunchyroll made an article. It says, overseas demand is driving up the amount of money anime studios are making. So if you can search that with Crunchyroll.
It's on the definitely first page right now.
Yeah, it's probably on the first page still. They fully translated Yoshitada Fukuhara's tweet that he made on...
You technically are.
August 22nd. Right. I didn't read the whole thing.
Okay.
I just kind of gradually...
I'm just trying to help.
gradually noted it. But again, he is the one that was the producer with Kimono Friends and Kimono Kusa. So he does know... I won't say he's like the... He is in production. He does that kind of stuff. So he would have insight into how this stuff is done and how much it costs. But he said this tweet is from a year ago, but recently the market, and he, this is regarding to, he apparently made a tweet a while back talking about the price of how much a studio makes per episode and how much they make for an entire series. He said that recently the market price for anime, an anime episode, has been around 20 million yen. He previously said 15 million yen, so it's gone up quite substantially. This is because overseas distribution sites are focused on the popularity of the original work, the studio, and the creator when they license the series at a high price. So a majority of the orders are concentrated on the more popular studios. Furthermore, the bigger studios tend to be able to claim royalty easily. That surprised the hell out of me. Essentially, he is saying that there is an increase per episode, which is fantastic. The studio is getting more money per episode they're making. This isn't the production committee. This is the studio itself. They are getting paid more per episode they're making. Again, I'm not saying for all the people that go, I hate Crunchyroll because of... of animators. I'm not saying the animators is getting the money. There's a chance that they can, though. The more the money the studio makes, the more chance that they possibly can pass that on to the animators, which is fantastic. But what surprised me is the royalty thing. Because one of the biggest issues that we've kind of talked about several times is that, you know, buying goods, buying figures, buying anything outside of the Blu-rays themselves or streaming the show, it didn't feel like there was any way to get that money back to the animators. And I'm sure it's the same feeling in Japan. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are like, I wish there was a better way to, you know, support the animators. Royalties is something I've never really seen before. They are talking about the possibility there's actually student, and I think they specify that it seems to be strictly right now to the bigger studios. I'm guessing like Ifutable, Kyoto Animation. These studios are actually getting royalties for the product now. They're actually putting that into the contracts for these shows. So if they make, say, a really awesome show for a production committee, there's a chance that they could be continuously getting more money for it in the future rather than just the initial paying for it.
Well, take into consideration, and this makes sense if you stop and think about it, because if I was to put a no name, just Anime X made by Ufotable or let's say Studio Dean. So all you know is Anime X. You may like it, you may hate it. Which one? You have 30 minutes. Which show are you going to watch right now? The one made by Ufotable or the one made by Studio Dean?
It depends on if it's the good Dean or the bad Dean.
Now, I'm not asking. I'm not saying that.
I mean, this is the same studio that did both Fate, the original Fate series, and also did Shogunroku Rakugo Shinju. So, which one are we talking about here?
My point being,
action yes, Ufotable.
Huh?
Action yes, Ufotable.
My point being is, you are more likely based on a studio. Studios do have more, and this is something our fandom has in general. The more farther you go down the road of the more heavier you get into anime, you tend to find out more about studios, and then you tend to favor certain studios. This is something that our fandom has in general. Now, the funny thing is if you take that into consideration, then yes, it makes more sense for a bigger studio, one that has more staying power, is more likely to get a royalty. Also, he mentions There's a franchise effect. So basically, and that makes a lot of sense as well. So that would be, you know, kind of like if like you were mentioning Fire Force before, it has a lot of hype, that plus it's got a stronger studio behind it. So naturally, it's going to get royalties. Dragon Ball Z naturally has royalties. Why? Because it's Dragon Ball Z. It's a namestay. that's why these now a smaller studio with a lesser known title doesn't make sense to have royalties. And if the studio was to demand a royalty for such a show, they'd be just like, no, we can't. We can't afford that. We can barely afford to pay you for the $20,000 for the license, or whatever. I know it's a lot more than $20,000. I'm just throwing a number out there. I can't even afford that because I don't even know if I'm going to make that much off of there. That's the risk involved in having these licenses. Now they've got to gin up enough hype to at least cover that license fee, and at the same time, if the studio is demanding a royalty, it's just not going to happen. Especially if after they at least cover the royalty, maybe they may make a couple dollars off of a couple more views, but that's at best. Yeah. Interesting thought. I'm sorry, just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Just continuing on it, he of course mentioned that the idea that the royalties are only for the bigger studios. The increased amount being given to the anime studios from the production committee is to help attract more talented creators, because overseas licensors are interested in higher profile creators and studios to sell the series, especially prior to broadcasts when they are not much to go on for promotional purposes. I don't know if that's so much a thing. I know that, like you mentioned, with the more seasons fan of anime, they're going to definitely go for more titles that are made by those directors that they know so well, or made by a studio that is more high caliber. But I think it is kind of different for each show, depending on how it kind of grabs people. Sometimes even the source material might grab a group of people. I'm sure that was, you know, something that really drove a lot of the recent titles that have been hitting that are based off mangas that are really popular, like, you know, God of High School had a lot of hype behind it because people knew the manga. So it's definitely a case for that one as well. But yeah, definitely was an interesting tweet. And like I said, I definitely recommend people go check out the article to read the full thing. I'm not going to sit here and read the entirety of it. but it's definitely something to think about, that they are seeing the drive over here. And I do hope that is driving more of them to push these original titles. Maybe they're hoping that having their own original titles that they can, you know, get more money from it in the end, due to overseas streaming and stuff. So, yep. That's all the news. It's important to us. It should be important to you. That should be important. That is important to us because it's important to you. Let's see if we can knock out some quick questions before we wrap it up. We do technically are running late because we did a big, long fairy cast, so blame the fairy fans, the fairy tale fans, that we're short on time. So, but we do enjoy them, so I don't care. Again, go to our community at otakuspirit.com, and the forum is linked at the top there. Go to the anime cast question thread and post your question there, or go to the contact us button at the top of otakuspirit.com, or shoot a tweet, email, Andrew at otakuspirit.com. Plenty of ways to get a hold of us. Like Alan Dale Napo did, said, "Hello, Otaku Spirit Duo. I'm a new fan and recently discovered you guys on someone's top anime podcast." Well, whoever that is, thank you. "So I watched a couple of your Gundam reviews, especially ZZ and Char's Counterattack, and your big topic episodes, rating anime, are watching the same show, etc. I must say, you guys are absolutely great." Thank you. "So far, when listening to you guys, he's got bullet points. This is scary. "You don't go into a blind hatred. When you dislike a series or show, you don't give it the tone of like having a personal grudge against it, and greatly give the positive and the negatives of a show. Last thing, I don't know if you guys are going to answer this on the episode or not. What were the four animes that you guys think were utter garbage? Chris said in the rating anime episode that he vividly remembered those four in your early days of reviewing. That is all. Stay safe. Wash your hands." Thank you, Alan.
I knew this question was coming, and I still cannot remember what I was thinking about.
I went back to the rating anime episode, and I'm like, crap. I don't know. I mean, that's And that was, the rating anime was way back there. So, because I mean, that was like, what, in our early 100s?
I might have thought of...
I know you brought up Pupa in that episode.
I was going to say probably Pupa, but I can't think of any other ones that off the top of my head that I don't... I'm not really big on the utter garbage thing. I make the joke a lot, but because I'm actually making fun of other people saying utter garbage. It's not really... And like I said, Pupa was... And I still... I don't think that it doesn't belong as an anime. I want somebody to explain it to, so that I understand why it's a thing.
Yeah, and I think it was funny because you were technically making that point in that particular episode. It was this idea of, you know, I would like to know, you know, possibly what was their mindset behind that, because it didn't really feel like it had a purpose. I mean, it had a purpose, but it wasn't really... it seemed like you were kind of making the point that it doesn't feel like it had a purpose or that it was going for something, and you kind of want to know what the writer was going for, because I think it technically felt like it just dropped off, right?
Yeah.
It didn't really have an ending to it. I'm trying to go to 2015 and prior and see if I can figure it out in my Mal list. Trying to get to 2015 takes a lot of scrolling because we've watched too many stupid shows, because there's too many damn shows since 2015. I'm going to go down to 14 because I don't know how early in that year we did that one.
Because even Cross Age, I mean, we lovingly hate that one or love to hate it or whatever have you. But even that one is it has a special place in my heart for.
The telescope show, was that before then?
That one would probably
In Search of Lost Future?
I think that's what it is.
Of Lost Future. Maybe that was one of them. That might have been post 2010. There's one.
There you go.
There's one.
We found two of them.
There's one. I don't think it was a terrible show. Maybe at the time. It's hard to remember how my feelings were about these shows. I think I was pretty nasty about it. I don't really feel that way now. I probably would like to check it out again, but that was probably one in the mind at that point, I can honestly say. I honestly really hated that wolf one, the Wolf Girl and Black Prince. Really didn't like that show.
I liked it, so.
But it would have been my evil one to put on there. Himagoto would maybe... Maybe Himagoto?
You mean Himoto?
Himagoto was the one where everybody was a trap. Like, literally every character in that show was a trap.
It was cute.
Big muscly men were trying to attack the poor kid in the front of the school. It was pretty bad. I'm just trying to think of my mindset back in that time. Like, I didn't like... The Still World Was So Beautiful. I know you finished it, but I was not a fan of that one. And that would have been the shows that would be probably the most fresh in the mind, because that's the 2014 era. I didn't like Nurin. There was Pupa. Did you like Strange Plus?
I despised that show.
Oh.
But even that, I don't know. I guess that might have been one of the ones, but it's... Man... You despise Nobunaga. I know that you despise that one. I liked it.
See, this is like Nobunaga and Nobunaga the Fool was like at the same dang season. It was like out of nowhere, suddenly we have to have 50 Nobunaga shows. Supersonico, the animation, had pockets outside of her shorts.
I didn't care for that show much. I will admit that. But it wasn't bad. It just didn't work for me.
Because of the pockets.
Pockets.
Just admit it was the pockets.
I thought she was overly ditzy, but another Bricks character that I didn't much care for.
I guess I So now we're getting to 2013s. Let's go a little bit into 2013s. Like I said, I'm just trying to keep what's in what would have been fresh in the mind at that point. I think that's probably.
Yeah, we're searching for shows that we were kind of ambivalent.
I gave up on Errata, but I don't think I was nasty about it.
It wasn't that bad. Devil's
Crime Edge. Severing Crime Edge. I didn't hate
it. You hated it.
Severing Crime Edge. And see, this is like a period of time where I was pretty, I admit I was pretty nasty. So if you're listening that far back, and of course you probably weren't listening to our reviews back then, but I was not, I wasn't nasty, but I was pretty dismissive. And so like in shows like Ore no Kanojo, I'm trying to think of an English title for it, Orisha.
Oh, I remember that one. I actually liked that one.
It's very dismissive of a lot of those kinds of shows. So, yeah, Severing Crime Edge, Dog and Scissors. I was just kind of, even though the Shining Girl was great in Dog and Scissors.
Shining.
I can't believe I remember that stupid Shining.
Because she stood out so much.
She was great. But yeah, thanks so much for the kind words. I really do appreciate your support. It is fantastic. Hopefully you listen to more than just our old comedy podcast episodes.
Sorry. I appreciate the fact that you took the time to listen to especially those particular shows. I hope that a lot of that stuff at least made some kind of sense. Those were very, very important stories or shows that I had to get out.
We're like totally way too late now, but I really have to answer this next one. Rashawn says, hey, what's up, guys? I know you all have stated this plenty of times before, but it bears repeating. The Funimation F7 sucks. It's the worst. It is hard to believe.
Roberts.
Get on it. It's hard. Now, see, when they had the whole discussion about AT&T selling to Sony, and I had some problems with the Crunchyroll app on Apple TV keeps asking me to re-sign in. And I'm like, did they already sell it? And Roberts is getting involved.
Roberts is getting on it.
It's hard to believe that in our day in time that their app is completely unorganized and runs very slow. Crunchyroll should just make it their own dub catalog, and then we could all just use that instead. How many people have to message and complain to Funimation to tell them that their app and site is the worst? That is all. Sorry, I just had to do that because that one kind of fit. There was no question in that, though. It was feedback for Funimation, so there you go. Just contact Roberts. We gotta get our Twitter handle. I don't know, that'd probably be bad. They'd probably harass them. So anyways, that's all the time we have. Like I said, kind of a not that short, but we are running short on time. Hope you guys enjoyed this run through of the news that seemed important to us, that should be important to you, and the great questions from our community members. As usual, thank them for sending us questions and everybody for their usual support of our podcast and site and everything. So but yeah, with that said, again, we're at talkingspirit.com. It's where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community forum, links, stop social media links, right side, and all that good stuff. And we thank you all for listening, and you all take care.
Oh.